the Gospel of Matthew again tonight. Matthew chapter 11. This morning in Sunday school, I taught, gave some simple thoughts regarding salt out of Matthew 5. He said, "You're the salt of the earth." And then this morning preached out of Matthew 20 on the Savior. Tonight, going to preach out of Matthew chapter 11, dealing with service, dealing with serving the Lord. And so, if you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 11, and going to read the last three verses of this chapter here, three probably very familiar verses, and three tremendous verses. These are words spoken by Jesus Christ Himself, and He makes just such a tremendous, tender appeal to man. And He says in verse 28, He says, "Come unto Me, come unto Me. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And these verses here are really dealing with, I believe they're dealing with salvation. I believe the appeal here primarily is for the lost. And if you've ever been saved, then boy, these verses, you can really put yourself in these verses. You can really see when He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And you fully understand the rest for your soul that you find in Christ, that you find nowhere else. And we all know that and have experienced that, those of us that have been saved. But there's also some commands here and also some application that can be made to those of us that are saved regarding serving the Lord, regarding our service. And so I want to look here in these verses and bring out some thoughts and give you a message the Lord's put on my heart regarding serving the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You for letting us be in Your house. And Father, I pray that You'll bless Your Word, bless the reading of Your Word. Lord, these things are not received by the natural man, but they're spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us to receive from heaven what You'd have us to receive. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would drive these truths deep into our heart and help us, Lord, to be better servants for Thee. Help us, Lord, to be sold out. And, Lord, I pray that You would use us in a mighty way in these days. Lord, I pray for that one here tonight that might be lost, that You would, Lord, convict their heart, show them their lost condition, that they'd be saved before it's too late. But, Lord, I pray that Your will would be done in this service, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So what we see again here in these three verses, we see an really inspiring call that Jesus Himself puts out for us and all men to serve Him, to this inspiring call to serve Jesus. And what we see in these verses are some things that really are involved with serving Him, which, by the way, the call to salvation. I mentioned a minute ago that these verses primarily are a call to the lost to come to Christ and be saved. But lest we forget that a call to salvation is the call to serve. Getting saved is not a get out of jail free card. It's not a get out of hell free card. It's not a license to sin. And it's not just all about not going to hell. The call to salvation is the call to turn our life to Christ. That's the call that goes out to every lost person to turn to Jesus, to repent and stop serving the world and idols and start serving Jesus. Amen? Nobody ever gets saved that doesn't serve and doesn't understand the fact that they are there to serve Christ. And so The call to salvation is also the call to serve. But for those of us that are saved, we can see some things regarding our service, and that will help us in our service. Things that are involved in these verses in serving Him. And so it consists of about four different things. And again, a lot of people may would call these simple truths, but these are very, very deep truths. Amen. And so looking at these verses, we see about four different things that are connected to and involved in us serving the Lord. If you are going to be the servant that the Lord wants you to be and the servant that He expects, it's going to involve these four things. And so the first one we see is in verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that are all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Verse 29, though, He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. And so the first one we see regarding service is that service involves a load. There is a load of service. There is a burden to service. He says to take my yoke upon you. Now, all of us here know what a yoke is, I'm sure. A yoke is something that you, a harness that you would put on oxen or other animals that people used in days gone by. They would put that harness on them to be able to pull some type of farm implement, some type of piece of equipment, be it a plow, be it whatever it is. And it was that yoke. It was that yoke, that load that they were taking on them. That's what a yoke is. It is a load. It is a burden. It is a labor. And it's not only a load. The yoke itself is not only a load, but it attaches that animal, that oxen or that whatever it is, to another load, to another burden. And such is the Christian life. Listen, the living for the Lord is a load. There is labor involved. There is work involved in serving the Lord. And it's not necessarily always an easy row to hoe. It's not always an easy thing to do to serve the Lord and to get in the yoke with the Lord. But He did say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And even though it isn't always easy, and even though it isn't always, even though there are difficult times, you'll always find the yoke of Christ. When we're right with Him, when we're serving Him, you'll always find His yoke and His burden much easier and much lighter than the life of sin. Amen. Well, I think it was Brother Joe said, or somebody said, your worst day serving the Lord is 1,000 times better, 1,000,000 times better than your best day serving sin. Amen? And so, but we know that it involves a load. And so it not only involves a load, but it also involves a commitment. Getting in the yoke, taking Christ's yoke upon you, it involves commitment. Once the yoke is on you, then the commitment begins. The commitment to Christ and the commitment to His work, taking that load and committing to it. And the fact is, you'll not serve Christ if you're unwilling to do two things. If you're unwilling to carry a load, and if you're unwilling to be tied down to a task. So little gets done for the Lord in this day because of the lack of commitment by God's servants. People seem to be so uncommitted to a task. And I think we all battle that. We battle all that in the flesh. You know, we battle all the thing of getting all fired up and wanting to do something for the Lord. And then within a few days, it fizzles out. It doesn't last. That's one thing that to me is very encouraging. Anytime we take up all, people give all of their faith promise, and we take up all or go over our faith promise goal the last 2 years. That is very encouraging to me because it lets me know that people are in the yoke with Christ and they are committed to the task. Amen? Of course, now we know that serve the Lord extends far beyond just being committed to faith promise. There are so many things to be committed to in the service of the Lord, but at the end of the day, we'll not serve God or do much for Christ if we were not willing to carry a load and be tied down to the task. And so many people are tied down to so many things, and they are committed to so many things that aren't the work of God. And I think we've got our priorities mixed up in some areas. I think we need to evaluate where our priorities are and evaluate what's important, evaluate what's going to matter in eternity, and get committed to what's going to be of value in eternity. So many people will cancel church and not show up to church because of something else going on out in the world that they're more committed to. So many people will forego the things of God because of something else that's already scheduled or something else that's already going on because they're committed to that more than they are the things of God. And so no one will ever serve the Lord until we are first willing to carry the load and to be tied down to the task. Now, Satan and the flesh will always tell you, will always tell all of us, that the yoke of Christ is too heavy and it's too burdensome. That's what happens whenever people, you see people who at one time, I mean, they were serving the Lord and they were on fire for God, and you can see the Lord and the things of God really change in their life. It affects every area of their life, the way they dress, the way they live, the order of their home, the things that they're doing. I mean, the way they're spending their money, it affects every area of their life. But then something happens and they get crossways with God. They get messed up with God. It shows up in getting crossways with the church, usually. And people usually put the blame on the church, like something supposedly happened at the church, something was said or something was done, somebody's picking on them, or, you know, I mean, just whatever. I mean, the blame always goes on the local church, but at the end of the day, if people were to get real honest, they're messed up with God. They're out of God's will. They've broke fellowship with the Lord, and the blame is being put on the church or on the preacher or somebody else. But you know what always happens in situations like that? The yoke of Christ, all the convictions, the Word of God, the things that at one time were guiding their life and being such a blessing to their life and helping them and strengthening them and being a blessing to them and their spiritual life and their family, suddenly those things are not a blessing anymore. Suddenly those things are a burden now. Suddenly being faithful to church is a burden, not a blessing. Suddenly giving to the work of God and being faithful in tithing and offering and giving to missions and all those things isn't a blessing anymore. It's a burden now. Suddenly dressing right and dressing modestly according to Bible standards and all those things isn't a blessing anymore. It's a burden now. And you know what tells people that? It's not the Lord and it's not the Holy Spirit that leads people that direction. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what it normally comes from, it comes from the Satan in the flesh, him telling them when they get crossways with God, some little something come in their life, and they start looking for excuses, and the flesh will tell them that his yoke is too heavy, his yoke is too burdensome. That's what happened with Paul. You remember with Paul, I think it was in Acts, it wasn't Acts 20, I'm trying to remember what chapter it is, but when Paul is headed to Rome, and they're sailing across the sea there, and they encounter that storm, Euroclydon, right? And Paul tried to warn them before they even set sail. He said, listen, I perceive that this voyage is going to be with much hurt. We don't need to sail. But they didn't listen to Paul. They didn't listen to the Word of God. Amen. And that was the Word of God because Paul had a word from the Lord. He was the apostle. He had a word from the Lord, but they would not listen. They viewed the man of God as a burden. They viewed the Word of God as a burden. They said, we're going anyways, man. That Word from the Lord is trying to slow me down. That Word from the Lord is trying to keep us from getting where we really want to get. Amen. And so they set sail anyways. And that's the way a lot of people do in churches. Well, that the Word and the standards and the convictions and the preaching and all the church stands for, it's really slowing me down and cramping my style and keeping me from getting where I really want to get. And so they set sail anyways in light of the warning, in light of the preaching, in light of what they really know the Bible says. They set sail anyways. And just like in that chapter, they encountered a storm. And before that storm was over, you go back and read the chapter, you go look it up in the book of Acts. Before that storm was over, they were throwing out the tackling of the ship. They were throwing out the lading of the ship. The lading, that's all the valuable goods. Amen. They were throwing it all overboard for the sake of trying to keep that ship floating in that storm. And that is what happens to a lot of families, what happens to a lot of people. At one time, they had lading, they had tackling, they had things that were really helping them and being a blessing to them, but they get crossways with God, crossways with the Word of God, and they set sail anyways. And before it's over with, they're throwing all those things overboard because they're not viewed as a blessing anymore, they're viewed as a burden. They want to get free and want to get loose. But that is what the devil and the flesh will tell us, that his yoke is too heavy, it's too burdensome, and if we could throw off the yoke, we'll be much better. But the truth is, you and me, we're always going to be on one yoke or the other. We're always going to be under a burden. The myth and what the devil sells people is that we can throw off Christ and throw off the Word of God and get free from all this bondage. That's what the devil and the flesh will tell, and that is the myth that is given to people, that you can throw off all this bondage, all those things, and you'll be free and you'll have liberty. You'll finally be able to go do whatever you want to do, not really realize that once they do step out on the Word of God, once they do throw off the yoke, once they do throw off that burden, they do not find liberty and they do not find freedom. And you'll be under the yoke of the Savior, or you're going to be under the yoke of sin. And whenever people throw off the yoke of the Savior and the saints and the Word of God and the Scriptures and all those things, they step out, and what they wind up doing without even realizing it, they take upon them the yoke of sin. Oh, they're going out and they're doing everything they want to do. They're enjoying the things they want to enjoy, but they're certainly under a burden. And I tell you something, the sin is the most deceptive, burdensome thing of all. Sin is far more burdensome than the things of God. Jesus said His yoke was easy and His burden is light, but sin is not easy. That burden is not light. That sin will take everything we've got. That sin will leave you high and dry. That sin will leave you all used up. It'll approach you as a friend. It'll approach you as something that'll help you. It'll approach you as something that you'll enjoy. But when the day is over and the party's over, it'll leave you high and dry, used up, rode hard and put up wet. Amen? It'll leave you in the ditch somewhere. Amen? But that is what is told to us by Satan and the flesh, that if we'll throw off Christ, we'll be free. But you're never free. There's always a yoke. There's always a burden. And so we can either be under the burden of sin, or we can be under the burden of the Savior. We can be in the yoke of sin or in the yoke of the Savior. Jesus said, though, that His burden was easy. His yoke was easy and His burden was light. And it's not that way with sin, though. However, it certainly is a load. There is a load and a labor involved in service, involved in serving the Lord. But then there's also learning involved in service. This is one of the blessings of service. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn of me. Now, one of the compensations for serving Christ is to learn spiritually. One of the ways He compensates us, and one of the ways that He blesses us, whenever we serve the Lord, when we're obedient to the life that we do have, when we're obedient to the knowledge and the understanding that we do have, whenever we're obedient to the Word of God that we know to be obedient to, whenever we do those things and we serve the Lord with what we have now, He will compensate us by learning of Him. That's one of the compensations of serving the Lord. What's helped me in my Christian life as a young Christian, and even now, what has helped me learn of Him more than anything else in the whole world is just serving Him. Just getting out and just serving Him. Just doing what I know to do. Just obeying in the areas that I know to obey. Just serving in the areas that I know to serve. And so by doing that, what it's helped me to do, it's helped me to learn of Him. I tell you, one of the things, and I've heard many people say this, but one of the things that helped me learn the Word of God was teaching Sunday school class. being open and willing whenever I was approached and asked to teach a Sunday school class, years ago, the first one I ever taught, and I said, sure, I'll be willing to do it. I don't know much, but I'll teach what I know, and having to dig in and serve the Lord and just be faithful and be committed. Sure, I was scared. Sure, I didn't know what I was going to do. Sure, I didn't know all the answers. Sure, I didn't know enough of the Bible, but I was willing and I wanted to serve. And so what I did, I just dug in and I just gave what the Lord gave me, and little by little, the Lord helped me to learn more and more and more and more. And that comes in my life and in your life whenever we serve the Lord. I've heard so many people talk about how much they learn the Bible by stepping out and teaching a Sunday school class, or stepping out and serving the Lord, or doing various different things. We will learn of Him when we serve Him. Fortunately, though, spiritual ignorance is the lot of those who refuse to serve. The folks that just go through the motions and sit on the pew and don't ever really do anything outside of their box or do anything outside of just what they're doing right now. You know, the truth is, those people tend to be spiritually ignorant and live a life of spiritual ignorance because they never learn of Him, because they never serve Him. So learn from serving Jesus, and what you'll learn from serving Jesus, you'll learn from serving Him, actively serving Him, what you'll never learn in taking a course. I know we do Sunday school, and I know we come to church to get preaching, that we might learn, that we might hear from God, that we might do all those things. But I'm telling you, nothing will take the place of just actively serving the Lord. He will open your eyes. He will give you more life. We will be obedient and serve in the light that we've got. The Lord will give us more light. Sunday school is a tremendous thing. And classes and courses and Bible institutes and Bible college, all those things are great things, but they will never teach you the things that you will get taught from just getting out and serving the Lord and getting our hands dirty, so to speak. I tell you, that I've seen that even more true recently now since we've been going to the jail the past several months. I have learned of Him more since going to the jail. I have. And I tell you why. Because whenever I come to church, I preach to people who just sit and listen. Or some people who sit and sleep. One or the other. Or some people who sit and look at me, but they're not listening. Either way, you're just sitting there. But you go to the jail and it's not that way. You preach to people who will interrupt you in the middle of your preaching and ask questions. And some of them are questions that I've never thought of in my life. Some of them are questions that I think, where did you even come up with that? Like, you know, why are you even thinking about that? Like, where did that come from? And then there you are. You're right there. Everybody's, you know, they ask the question. They turn to hear Him ask the question. Then they all turn and look back at you to see what you're going to say. And so you're just standing there. And you got to come up with something. Or you can just say, I don't know. I'll study it out and let you know. I mean, but I tell you what, it's caused me to think about things. And caused me to think about things I've never thought about before. Caused me to think about things from certain angles and in certain ways that I would never have to think about them, never be forced to think about them when I'm just standing in a pulpit preaching in a Baptist church. Because nobody's raising their hand, interrupting the service, saying, hey, I've been thinking about this. What do you think about this? You know? I'll tell you something else. Being out on the street will do that. Street preaching, passing out tracts, knocking doors, inviting folks to church, and talking to people about their soul will do that. Because people will come out with things, and people will talk about things, and it forces you to think about things that you're not forced to think about otherwise. And by the way, it is good for us. It is good for us. It is good for you. It is good for me to have to stand before someone who is likely lost and answer their questions and have an answer to their preconceived ideas concerning God, and answer their questions, that is questions that's mingled in ignorance concerning the Word of God. Answer their questions, and refute the things, the heresy they've been taught, and the things, the misunderstandings they have. That is good for us as God people. That's why He said, be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that you have within you. And by the way, the only way you ever really get ready to do that, the only way that you and me, any of us, ever get to the point where we're really ready and comfortable and confident in answering every man of the hope that we have within us, is just to get out of the four walls of the church and start answering every man of the hope that we have within us. You're not going to sit in a Sunday school class. You're not going to sit in a soul winner's class. You're not going to sit in any class and get enough education and get enough learning to where you're perfectly comfortable and you're perfectly confident enough to go out and answer every question. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get stumped a few times. You're going to have to be able to put in a position a few times where you just have to flat out say, I honestly just don't really know the answer to that, but I'll study it out and I'll let you know. You're going to have to get put in the position every now and then where you just really don't know. You're going to have to get put on the spot a few times. You're going to have to get asked some questions a few times. And I tell you, we have lost that in the church in this day. We've lost this thing of where we're willing to go out and being confrontational with the gospel and call people. And whenever people, you know, call people in their ignorance and call people in their heresy and call people in their misunderstandings, whenever they tell us, well, you know, whenever they reveal to us what they're believing in and resting in to be saved, and we realize that it's not the true gospel and it's not grace and they're relying on their works, you know, we have to be willing to be confrontational and let them know, put up a stop sign and say, hold on a second, that's not going to save you. That's not going to get you there. Instead of just saying, well, okay, all right, well, come to church. We'd love to see you in church sometime. Amen. Today we've got to be confrontational with the gospel. That is serving Christ. That's serving Him. I'll never forget, and I may have told you this already, when me and Brother James were out knocking doors week before last and talking to one young girl, teenage girl. And whenever she told us, which by the way, and I know I've told you this, but where we're at, the Bible Belt in Amory, Mississippi, this is as much as a mission field as anywhere else. And I think the devil's got us all conceived into thinking, got us all deceived into thinking, well, everybody already knows, you know, so they'll either accept it or reject it, and that's between them and God. But I'm here to tell you, buddy, not everybody knows. Maybe there was a time when people had a clear understanding of what the real gospel is, but I'm here to tell you, 2 and 3 and 4 generations have now passed of people that have never been in church. And if they have been in church, it's not been a Bible preaching church. So they know the lingo, and they know the name of Jesus, and they maybe even have a Bible. And so, you know, there's a form of godliness there, but I'm talking about ever having someone really explain to them the real gospel, the Bible gospel. And by the way, there is another gospel out there. We know that according to Galatians 1. And buddy, it's out there. It's all around us. And ever having them, having someone take a Bible and really preach to them and explain to them the Bible gospel, Bible salvation. Listen, they're all around us. They've never had that happen. Me and Brother James talked to a young teenage girl over in West Amory. And of course, you know, you ask them, you know, talking about their soul and the judgment, all those things, you know, what are they going to tell God? And she talked about how, oh, I'll just tell God I've tried, I did my best. You know, went to church, tried to do good things, and I was baptized, you know. And Brother James stopped her and he said, hold on a second now. He said, there's a big difference in being baptized and being saved. Being baptized is not being saved. And brethren, as sincere as she could be, she said, really? She said, I thought they were both the same. I thought they were the same. See, now the devil's got most of us convinced that people know better. But I'm here to tell you right now, that young girl did not know better. Somebody has told her that. Somebody has taught her that. And there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, that the end thereof is the ways of death. And all around us, there are men and women, boys and girls, that are going the way that seems right to them because some wolf in sheep's clothing has peddled it off to them. The devil's peddled it off to them. But they've never had someone really confront them and tell them, listen, you are going to wind up in hell if you believe that. I don't care who told you that or where you heard that. I'm here to tell you. And here's the Bible, and I want you to understand that it's by grace you're saved. There's no works involved. I mean, all those things. I mean, they've never had someone genuinely confront them with the truth. But you know, the only way you'll ever get comfortable with confronting people with the truth and confronting people with the gospel and being ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that you have within you, you know, the only way you'll ever get ready to do that is by just getting out and doing it. Because whenever we get out and serve, and it's not just that, it's in every area of our Christian life. That's just an example. That's just one example. But the point is, whenever we get out and serve the Lord, the results in learning. There is learning in service. And we'll learn more from serving Him than we'll ever learn sitting in a class or sitting on a pew. We need this right here. Don't get me wrong. We need this. We got to have this. We got to have preaching. We got to have the teaching. We got to have all those things. But if we are only hearers of the Word and not doers, it is not going to help us. It's not affecting us. It's not falling on good ground. And so there is learning in service. So there's the load of service. And then there's learning in service. But then there's lowliness in service. Jesus said there, He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Now, if we would serve Christ, we must be like Him. That's what we're striving for. We're striving for being like Him. And to be like Him is to be meek and lowly in heart. Now, don't get me wrong that meekness is not weakness. It's not being weak and feeble and just, That's not it at all. Matter of fact, Brother Jamie did a tremendous session with the guys, the young married men and then the young single men, all of us together, as many of us would come during camp this past week. And boy, it was so good. We met 4 o'clock, just the guys, and he did this little session just really teaching, dealing with leadership. It was regarding leadership, particularly these young men, helping them from the Bible and teaching regarding leadership specifically in the home. Because this, I know I'm getting a little off course here, but we all realize that there is a high gear attack on masculinity today in our society. I mean, there is a high gear attack on it. Our society is so feminizing men. I mean, and that is in high gear, buddy. And so he went to the Bible, of course, Ephesians 5 and different places, talking about and giving examples and just teaching, really, almost kind of off the cuff, on leadership in the home. And he talked about there in Ephesians 5, he said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." And I just preached on that, last week, I think, maybe? Husbands, love your wives. And the truth is, within that passage, husbands loving your wives, that, you know, as Christ of the church, that has that's not just, you know, romancing your wife, and that's not keeping her comfortable and giving her everything she wants. That's part of it, but that's a very small part of it. The biggest part of it is loving our wives as Christ loved the church. And he said, as a young Christian, young husband, he said, it kind of dawned on him at one point. He said, if I'm going to love my wife and be the leader in my home, if I'm going to do it as Christ loved the church, I'm going to have to do it exactly the way Jesus did it. Exactly the way Jesus led the church. Exactly the way Jesus loved the church. That's exactly what I'm going to have to do. And he went in and talked about how Jesus always loved the church and led the church with patience, but also with firmness. You think about all the commands that Jesus made to the church. I'm talking about His 12 disciples there and all that. You think about the commands that He gave them that they did not have any idea what He was talking about. They didn't know. They had no idea. There were times when Jesus would teach them things and command them to do or not do things, and they had no idea what He was talking about. And He didn't always explain Himself either. It's right whether we understand or not. I mean, if it's the Word, if Jesus tells us to do it, it's right whether or not we understand why or whether or not we want to or not. It's still right. And there were times, you think about where Peter has just made a statement, knocking it out of the park with Christ, like talking about how He's the Son of God. And then when Jesus tells him He's going to cross, Peter immediately turns right around, makes a huge blunder and tells him, "Oh no, you can't go to the cross. You're not going to the cross." And Jesus turns right around after commending Peter for the great statement he just made, turns right around and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I mean, you see, it was always patience, but it was always firmness from Christ. I'm just simply saying that Jesus was meek and lowly in heart, but He was not a weak-kneed sissy man. He was a firm, courageous leader. And it is. He's still the firm, courageous leader of the church. Amen? But lowliness, meekness, and lowliness speaks of humility. But not only means humility for us, it also means submission to God. Submission to Him, meek and lowly in heart. And that's the type of meekness and lowliness Christ had. He always did the Father's will. He was always submitted to the Father's will. And that's what He calls on us to do, to have lowliness in service. See, pride keeps most people from serving God. They're too proud to do the little things. They're too proud to humbly take orders, be it from God or from anyone else. I'm too proud. But if we're going to serve and do anything for God, it's going to require lowliness in our service. And then last of all, number four, with all these things in mind, there's still leisure in service. He said, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Yeah, it's a load. Yeah, there's labor. Yeah, there's good and bad times in serving the Lord. Yeah, I mean, there's learning involved and lowliness and submission involved, but boy, nothing will cause you to find rest unto your soul like serving the Lord. Getting back to the jail, I know I probably bring that up a lot, but that's just something we're doing every week, you know. And I'm just being very transparent with you here. There's very few times, there's probably fewer times than not. It's probably more often, more common that throughout the day, Tuesday, knowing we're going to jail that night to preach, it's probably more common that throughout the day my flesh is telling me, man, I really don't want to go. Man, I really don't feel like going. It's going to be a long day. We're going to have to go, and we're going to be there, and we're going to get back late. I mean, all day it's like building up, and I'm thinking about it. And it's probably more common that my flesh, in my flesh, I'm just not fired up. I just don't, you know, I'm just doing it because I'm obligated and I need to do it. We need to do it. Same with the street corner, going out street preaching, all those things. It's doing it because I've obligated myself and obligated our church to this ministry. But without fail, whether in my flesh I've wanted to go or not wanted to go, without fail, when we get in that service and the Holy Spirit starts moving and we start singing and we start preaching and men are taking it in, they're soaking it in and they're asking questions and the Lord's dealing with their heart, without fail, I leave that place saying, man, that was awesome. That was awesome. Man, that was a great service. I could stay here for another 2 or 3 hours and preach. I could stay here and talk to these guys about the things of God, about the Word of God, and answer their questions all night. I could come back tomorrow night. I could do this again. I could do it again and again. I mean, that's how I leave every single time. And I'll tell you why. Because whenever we take His yoke upon us, whenever we serve Him, whenever we do what God wants us to do, He always provides rest for our souls. He always fulfills us. Listen, Jesus is a good master. He's no slave driver. Sin is the slave driver. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, cost you more than you wanted to pay. Sin will do all those things. Sin will get you hooked on something that you can't get rid of. Sin will give you that little pet sin, and you'll have that little pet sin, but before long, you won't have that sin anymore. That sin will have you. And that thing will drive you. You look at these drug addicts, and you look at these people who are messed up in sin, that sin is driving them. You know, most crime, you know, all this theft and all this stuff is going on that is fueled by drugs. You know what's driving that? The drug addiction. It is driving that. Because that sin is a driver. It's a slave driver. Jesus is not that way. Jesus has never driven me to do something that I really didn't want to do. Jesus has never driven me that's caused me when it's all said and done and it's all over, caused me to break down and cry and weep because I look around at what a mess it's making of my life. Serving the Lord has never done that to me, but drugs has done that to a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people break down and cry and sob and weep because they've gotten sober and they've come down off that high and they look around and they see what that addiction and see what all those things has done to their life and they want to stop and they want to quit, but yet that addiction continues to drive them even though they know it's wrecking their life. But you know, serving Jesus has never done that. It has never done that to me. I've never gone out and handed out a bunch of tracts. I've never gone out and preached on the street or preached in the jail or knocked a bunch of doors. I've never done that. And when it was all said and done, said, man, I'd give anything if I could quit this. I've never done that. Matter of fact, it's the opposite of what happens. Once I get started, I think, man, I could keep on going forever. Man, I could just keep going and going. It feels so good to serve the Lord because I find rest for my soul, and you will find rest for your soul in that. I tell you what, even coming up, like whenever we do work days, getting ready for Bible conference and things like that, I know it's work and I know it's labor and I know we have to set aside time on our, you know, Saturdays and things like that to do that stuff. I understand all that. But man, without fail, after I've been up here working and serving with God's people and fellowship and doing something for the Lord, man, I leave and it feels good. I think, man, it feels so good to serve the Lord. Because when we serve Him, when we take His yoke upon us, we find rest for our souls because He's a good master. He's not a slave driver. And Christ's yoke, unlike the yoke of sin, does not leave out rest. It gives us rest for our souls. See, those that are in bondage to sin and under the yoke of sin, they cannot rest. They can't rest. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 57, see if I can find that real quick. Isaiah 57, verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's the way the wicked are. They cannot rest. There's no rest for their soul. There's no fulfillment for their soul. There's no salve for their soul. But Jesus gives rest for our souls. And that's the best rest you could ever have. Listen, the rest that Jesus gives you for your soul is better than the best night of sleep you could ever have. And if you've ever experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That rest for your soul. And so there's certainly leisure in service. And so you say, what are you really talking about? What I'm really trying to tell you is that really nothing beats serving the Lord. There is labor and a load of it involved, and there's learning in service and lowness in service, but boy, there is leisure in serving the Lord. Nothing is better than serving Jesus. I think about the Coker girls, Rachel and Savannah, singing that song, "There Ain't Nothing Better Than Jesus." And I found that in my life. And so I'll tell you what will help us this week, leaving this place, going out into a mission field, the mission field around us. Tell you what will help encourage us and edify us and bless us and give us rest in our souls is, even when our flesh fights against it, is to go on and serve the Lord anyways. When the Holy Spirit puts that thing in your heart to do, and no doubt we all have things that come to our mind and come into our hearts throughout the week, things that the Holy Spirit puts on our heart, lays upon our heart, you ought to go do this. Whatever that thing is. Whether it's calling somebody and inviting them to church, whether it's going knocking on somebody's door and inviting them to church, passing out a tract, or whether it's whatever it is. I believe all of us, we have things all throughout the week that the Holy Spirit lays on our heart to do, and our flesh fights it every time. You'll dream up the 110 things that'll go horribly wrong if you do that thing. But that's just the Satan, that's the flesh, trying to get us to not serve the Lord. But if we will deny ourselves, deny the flesh, be meek and lowly in heart and submissive to the Lord and submissive to the Holy Spirit, I tell you, nothing will fulfill you and give you a better week, give you a better day than serving Jesus, serving the Lord, submitting ourselves, turning our lives over to Him. I mean, I'm talking about even as saved people, submitting and serving Him. There's nothing like serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and I thank You for helping us with the Word tonight. I pray that You'll take it and use it. I pray that You'd help us all to be the servants that You would have us to be. Lord, I pray that You'd help us all, Lord, to be submissive to your will in this week. Lord, tomorrow and every day this week, Lord, whenever you lay things on our heart, Lord, be it when we have our time of prayer, when we're studying your word, or Lord, just throughout the day, Lord, whenever we as your people are out and about on the job and out in the world doing the routine, mundane things of life, Lord, as you lay things on our heart, I pray that you would help us to deny our flesh, Lord, not to listen to the devil. We'd go ahead and do what you put in our heart to do, Lord, that we might find rest unto our souls, that we might learn of you, that you might use us in a great and mighty way. Father, I pray that you'd bless us now as we close the service. I pray that you would drive this word deep in our heart, that we might not sin against you, and that we'd be used of you greatly in these days. You'd bless our church and help us. Lord, I thank you for the day. It's been a good day in your house. We praise you and thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.